And for those of you who know the airport, I was in Terminal F, which is all the regional small planes. So as we got on, there were not many people on the plane, and you can kind of hear most of the conversations. There was a young mother with her little girl, and she was quite excited. As the plane took off, and she says, "Mommy, Mommy, are we flying?" Of course, the mom said, "Yes." So the little girl says, "Are we going to go into the clouds?" And the mother says, "Yes, I think so." Then she says, "I hope we see Jesus." And the mother said, "I hope we don't." After that gospel this morning, I think some of us might be saying, "I'm not ready to see Jesus right now." You see, our gospel today makes it clear that Jesus means business as he's moving on his way to Jerusalem. In Luke's gospel, there's only one motif, Jesus getting to Jerusalem. So geographically, he does not skirt the town of Samaria, which is right in the way of Jerusalem. He could have gone around the town. After all, the Jews did not get along with the Samaritans. And we know that. Yet Jesus moves right through that which is most difficult and unpopular. He doesn't avoid a potential problem. He encounters them and he deals with them. And so let's ask ourselves a sobering question. Are there things in our lives that we should be dealing with head on and not skirt around or avoid? Like Jesus going to Samaria, we need to move into places that may be difficult and unpopular. Perhaps we have prematurely forgiven someone, and there's still a rawness to that relationship. Maybe we're engaged in some sort of anger avoidance, and it's really doing a number on ourselves. Or maybe we're just extremely deferential to the point that we can't be honest with our own feelings. Or are we just so excessively nice, trying to avoid what's really bothering us at times? That's one of the things that I engage in. I heard someone say, I was preparing a talk this week, that there's hardly any figure in the Western tradition who has been so thoroughly domesticated as Jesus. We forget that he had a lovely wildness to him. We enjoy hearing about people like Winston Churchill's lovely wildness when a woman said to him, "Sir, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea." And he retorted, "Madam, if you were my wife, I would drink the tea." Let's think not of his wildness, but think of the wildness of St. Paul in the reading from Galatians today. We see a lovely wildness in Paul. He tells us about true, utter, deep freedom when we are led by the Spirit. He says that when we are led by the Spirit, not even the law has power over us. What a bold claim. To be led by the Spirit is not to be led by our own egos, self-interest, or selfishness. These are what Paul refers to as the flesh. But Paul, like Jesus, in fact, Paul very rarely quotes Jesus directly. And in this text, he says that the whole law is summed up in what Jesus taught us, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we're invited to do that with our own unique personalities, to have a lovely wildness. Luke's text today invites us not to domesticate Jesus. It's in this context that we can hear him say things like, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the human one has nowhere to lay his head." And when he says no to the request of a would-be disciple to go and bury his dead father, what could these things mean? Jesus is telling us that we can't keep reliving the past over and over again. There's no time for that as we build the kingdom. We have to live right here in this present moment. And quite frankly, so few of us live in the moment because too often the moment is boring. We'd rather be someone else way in the past or we're stuck in the future. But for the right now, it may not be all that interesting. Except for this homily, of course. In this moment, then, Jesus is telling us to love our neighbor as ourselves, right now. If we look at the attitude of many Christians, we are sometimes not any different than the attitudes of the common consciousness of America. You can hardly go through two paragraphs of the New Testament without Jesus telling us to love the poor. Are we really a nation that does so? Are we really different because of the gospel? Frederick Buechner describes vocation such, the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. Each one of us can make a difference with our own vocation as a Christian. Listen to Sam Keen in his book called Hymns to an Unknown God, and I quote, "Enter each day with the expectation that the happenings of the day may contain a clandestine message addressed to you personally. Expect omens, epiphanies, casual blessings, and teachers who unknowingly speak right to you." Look at our first reading, this little snippet from Elijah and Elisha, two of what they call the non-writing prophets. There's no book in the Bible named after them, but they speak to us today. I think there's a little humor in this exchange. Basically, Elijah just got fired by Yahweh a few chapters before. He's told to place the prophet's mantle on Elisha without any reason. That's it. Simple. Doesn't it sound that way? But it's not. It's hard for us to let go. And it's hard sometimes for us as we age to let go. Again, just my opinion, and as I look at what's happening with Brexit, isn't it amazing that there's this old guard that will not let the new usher in? This theme is rooted in our Judeo-Christian experience. It's difficult to let go. I just spent a week with my Oblate brothers on a convocation, and I was noticing again and again how hard it is for my confreres to come to the decision to retire. We don't like thinking we're stepping out of life. I think we need to redo and reimagine and reframe what it means to let go and what it means to move to a new place wherever we are in our chronological continuum. In a moment, we're going to baptize Liam, Aurora, and Nolan. We expect that amazing things will happen to these children over the course of their lives. Sister Helen Prejean, working with prisoners on death row, wrote in American Magazine, "Now set your sails and brace yourselves for a riveting ride. Who knows to what shore God will take you? If it's not scary and surprising and an adventure all at the same time, it's not the gospel of Jesus. So enjoy the ride." And we say to these young children to be baptized, enjoy your lives. Just like that little girl on the plane wanting